Libya now has just the one national government. It says a great deal about what has been going wrong in Libya these last several years that this reduces Libya's number of national governments by half. Since about 2014, Libya has been split between two hostile authorities. One was the optimistically entitled Government of National Unity, based in Tripoli and recognised by the United Nations, but which really only sort of controlled the capital and the country's northwest. The other was Libya's House of Representatives, based in Tobruk, which more or less controlled the parts of Libya that the Government of National Unity didn't, not that anyone was really in control of much, which is kind of how you end up with two governments in the first place. The new setup, which replaces and/or amalgamates both, was sworn in on Monday.
Today, we have very good news in our search for peace. I welcome the selection by members of the Libyan Political Dialogue Forum of a unified temporary executive authority. And I call on all members of the dialogue and the Libyan and international stakeholders to respect the results of the vote.
This is the result of a UN-supervised process, also overseen by foreign interests which had backed the rival regimes, including Turkey, which had sought to shore up the Government of National Unity, and Egypt, which supported the Tobruk government and its Libyan National Army, commanded by career renegade General Khalifa Haftar. Haftar, both a former ally and former enemy of unlamented Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi, spent more than a year laying intermittent siege to Tripoli, but was unable to take the city, deterred at least in part by Turkey's contribution to its defence. The new agreement appears in part an acknowledgement by all concerned that there was little prospect of any military resolution of these competing claims. Perhaps unenthralled by the prospect of spending several more years waging an attritional guerrilla war in Libya's heat and dust, the various squabbling factions agreed to pack it in last October. The political process which has produced this new dispensation was one consequence of that truce, imperfect and frequently flouted, though it has been. Libya's new interim prime minister, sworn in on Monday in Tobruk, is Abdulhamid Dabibe, who in theory will mind the shop until national elections can be held in December. Dabibe is a businessman with a background in construction. He was also an associate of Gaddafi, though he might reasonably argue that between 1969 and 2011, it was difficult to get much done in Libya if you weren't. Such is the nature of megalomaniacal personality cults consecrated to tyrannical lunatics. Dabibe is thus far making all the right noises about fixing basic stuff like Libya's sputtering power grid and establishing a Ministry of National Reconciliation, which will work towards putting this fractured country back together. This is a task which, to understate matters audaciously, is easier said than done. Not least because, by the UN's best guesses, about 20,000 foreign soldiers and/or semi-deniable proxy troops and/or freebooting mercenaries are still in Libya, from countries including, but by no means limited to, Russia, Turkey, Syria, Sudan, Egypt, Iran, Afghanistan, and Chad. Many of these interlopers may well be ordered to leave by the governments which sent them, or go home of their own accord if the wages dry up, but some may attempt to operate their own rackets, especially if they figure that nobody is willing or able to stop them. And it is hardly unheard of in recent times for insurgent terrorist organisations to prosper in the combination of power vacuum and unpatrolled desert. That there has been at least this peaceful transition of power and this inauguration of a single national government is a good start and a significant achievement. But it really shouldn't be this hard. Libya has a population just shy of 7 million. It's barely bigger than Madrid. Almost all of those people live in a dozen or so cities and towns strung along the same road, the Libyan coastal highway, which cradles the Mediterranean's southern shore between Tunisia and Egypt. On paper, Libya should be largely governable by a platoon of competent mayors and a squadron of motorcycle cops. And Libya could and should be rich. It has immense natural gas prospects and, by some estimates, the 9th largest oil reserves in the world. It has to be hoped that the various outside powers hovering over this bounty now perceive it in their own interests to help Libya as they help themselves. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.